Well, good morning, everyone. I'm always kind of amazed when you're on an airplane, everybody wants to be up front in first class. And whenever I'm speaking or anything else, they always want to get as far away as they can. But welcome. So thankful you are here. And we just are here to give Jennifer a send-off and to bless this lady as well and to comfort her. And I'm just going to ask the Lord to comfort all of us and ask for his peace, which surpasses all human understanding, particularly at times of difficulty in life when it just doesn't make any sense, right? And we want answers, but there aren't any. But we know the one who knows the end from the beginning, and he loves each of us, each of you, so very, very, very much. So we're just going to look at his word today for comfort and peace, and really the good news for life for us. And before we get into that, and after we open, we'll have a prayer and a song, and I'll say a few more comments, and then you'll say, is that enough? Okay, it's enough. But I would like to then ask you to, who feel like it, just to share some comments about Jennifer that you would like to make, because I know it'll be a blessing for everyone. Okay, so you can be thinking if you have something you'd like to share, a story or whatever. And we'll just see how that goes, okay? So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you that we can gather in your name, Lord Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for these precious brothers and sisters who are here and who are outpouring their care and condolences and best wishes to Lorna and others really in the family. And Lord, in a difficult situation, but yet, Lord, we know that you know. And we know that you are the God of comfort and you are the God of peace. And so we just cry out to you today. I pray for your comfort. I pray for your peace. I pray that each of us would be feeling welcome to pour out our hearts and souls to you, Lord, and hold nothing back, no tears back, no grieving back, no anger back, no misunderstanding back or anything else. Just say, Lord, as it fits, I'm hurting and I don't understand. But Lord, I do want to do your will. I do know that you are there. I do know that you created the heavens and the earth, and I know that I'm not here by accident. And I know that this is not the end, Lord. This body that we're in is not the end. Yes, these bodies will all take their last breath, Lord. We know that. But this is not the end because we're created in your image, and therefore we're eternal even as you are eternal. So Lord, I just pray for that ability, that strength, that inner help that you would give each of us to go forward and to look at this day really with appreciation for who you are and to give us strength to go on in the walk and in the position that we're in. So bless this gathering in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, you don't have to stand up here all the time. Let's begin by singing an old song here. Some of you may have song sheets. It's on the first page. How Great Thou Art. This is from one of the Billy Graham Crusades. But it begins, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. So sing along or listen, whichever the case may be you'd like to do. Consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God.
Thank you.
shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
Then sing my soul.
Psalm 23 is a psalm which speaks of now, it speaks of going through the valley of the shadow of death, it speaks of being with the Lord forevermore. So I'd just like to read that familiar psalm and have you think about these words. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or need anything. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. We need some restoration today, I think, in a sense. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As I mentioned earlier in the prayer, at any rate, we're here to remember Jennifer and to pay our respects to her and to come to our Lord Jesus Christ for comfort and for peace, and to look for the answers that we may have in the Bible, answers as to past and present and future. As I mentioned also, I'd like to have you make some comments for, as you remember Jennifer, anything you'd just like to share with the group, and we'd just like to spend a little time doing that. So while you're getting those thoughts together, I want to just look at what does the Bible say about the comfort of God, being the comforter. In 2 Corinthians verse 3 and chapter 1, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation." All our tribulation, that would include today. That would include things that we don't like happening, or things that we don't understand, or things that we don't see any reason for. But he comforts us in all our tribulation. Why? That we may then be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. And your presence here today, I know, is a great comfort to Lorna and to others in the family. And so with that comfort that you receive from the Lord, you can pass on. And you're doing that, in a sense, by just being here today. And so I'm so thankful that you're here. Lauren and I met on Thursday about today a little bit, and she said, "I don't know who's coming." And I said, "Well, you and I'll be here. If we have a few more, that'll be great." And here we got a great group, right? Praise the Lord. That's so great. We got people from Sacramento and Kingman, Arizona, and I don't know, anybody further away than Sacramento? I came all the way from Costa Mesa. I mean, but so glad. And Millie even came, you know, we even got, actually we have more legs than we have two per piece person, because we got one four-legged one here today, right? So that's great. So he is our comforter who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And then we have a lot of scriptures that talk about the peace of God. One of my favorites is in Philippians 4:6. You know, I kind of remember that. I heard this a long time ago, but when in a fix, think of Philippians 4:6. And what does that say? It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And then it says something which is blows me away. And the peace of God, which what? Is what we understand? No. The peace of God which surpasses all human understanding. His peace, and I'm so thankful to him for that, is greater than I can understand. Because if I could understand his peace, I would probably question it, saying, Lord, give me more, or I don't understand why I don't have enough, or whatever it is. But his peace surpasses, it says, all understanding. So as much as you can understand, his peace is greater than that. So even in this time where you may not understand, or maybe you say, I'm angry about it, I don't like it, I want to get even, or I want to whatever. But his peace will surpass all your understanding and will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We need that guard. You know, in the old days, cities used to always put walls around their cities to keep the enemies out. And we need that guard against our heart and against our mind from enemies coming in. Now, we all have Satan running around and his workers of iniquity that always all they want to do is mess us up. And so we have those all around. And then we have some other two-legged enemies around some of us, you know, from time to time. People come against us either with ridicule or reproach or slander or whatever, you know, and we don't like it, right? But take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord and say, Lord, you understand. You know this. And in a sense, Lord, you handle it because I can't. I can't stop somebody from hurting me. I can't stop people from saying what they're going to say or telling the stories that they're going to tell. But I'll give it to the Lord and let him handle it, right? And once I turn it over to him, I don't have to worry about it anymore. The Lord knows, right? He knows everything, whether I turn it over to him or not. But if I don't turn it over to him, then I get all stirred up about it. I got to make this right. You know, I'm going to get even or whatever. And then you lose in that because you don't have the peace. And all you have is frustration and it never gets you anywhere. But if you say, Lord, I can't handle it. I give it to you. But you take care of it for me. He will. He will. Okay. So his comfort and his peace, we can ask for that, and he has promised it in his word. So we want to stand on those promises, don't we? Well, with that said, why don't we just open it up for whoever wants to say kind of much anything and kind of keep it kind of short. If we've got, I don't know, 20, 30 here, if we all talk for an hour, that kind of would be kind of a long service. Feel free to share whatever you would like to share. So, Lorna, you can pick whoever you want to go first, or you can go first, or we can just wait and see who wants to go first, whichever you would like.
Choose the angel from heaven here for a short time.
How precious. Did you all hear that? Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you.
I told her there, I said, I may not be your dad, but I'll lost contact with her, but I love her very much. And I miss her. And I miss her. Just being here.
Fishing, and, you know, all the outdoor activities. I know who you are. I remember the names. You know, it's always good stuff. Always a lot of fun.
Anybody else have anything that would like to share? Is it time? Good time?
Yeah. Hi, my name is Brenda. I was Jen's junior high best friend. So I have so many wonderful memories of her growing up. My mom would drop me off at Lorna's house in the morning before school, and we'd walk to school, and Jen always had like an extra like heavy metal t-shirt in her backpack, and she would run behind a tree and change real quick so she could, you know, wherever she wanted to school. So many nights, you know, I spent the night at their house, and she's the only person I know that would cry when she'd hear Axl Rose sing, I always remember she'd come to school with peanut butter and mustard sandwiches, and we lost touch kind of after junior high and high school. And we Facebook, you know, we reconnected probably about 10 or 15 years ago, and we started messaging back and forth, and I was looking through all my messages, you know, not too long ago after this happened, and one of the things was I was talking to my son, you know, about, you know, my best friend, you know, growing up, and I was telling him about all our times and about those peanut butter and mustard sandwiches, and I brought it up to her, and she's like, yeah, tell him. You know, I'm just so sad that, you know, I just wish that I could have seen her more. I feel like life kind of just got in the way, you know.
And thank you, Brenda, for helping me get this memorial together, the picture and the registry vote.
You're
thanks
for
words to me.
Well, you know, these comments all kind of have a common thread among them, and our lives really impact others in a tremendous way, don't they? And we may not even recognize it. We may feel so alone at times in our lives, but others are watching, and others are there, and others are remembering. And so we hear some these great memories today, and that's the picture that we're kind of all painting, is we're here for a short time. Well, I want to spend a little time on what the Bible says. Not my opinions don't mean anything, but what does the Bible say about some things that we may not always think about, but a memorial service is a good time to think about them. We want to obviously remember, like in this case, Jennifer, but it's also something more than just one person that the Bible talks about, because the Bible is God's word to all of us. And so three questions that frequently come up that we don't ask very often, but they're questions we should be thinking about it, and that is, where did I come from? And why am I here? And where am I going? Is this all there is? Well, the Bible tells us is very in the very beginning of it, in Genesis 1, that God created the heavens and the earth. And regardless of what you've heard about evolution or any other way that people try to get around it, you can't go out and look at the stars at night and say that they just happened. You can't look at a newborn baby and say, oh, that just happened. If you just imagine in each of our eyes, there's 1 million connections that have to be made perfectly by the eye nerve to the brain nerve to give sight. 1 million. Now you have to try to figure that out. try to figure out the DNA in every cell, which would fill volumes of libraries full of information. And it cannot possibly happen in stages. It's got to happen simultaneously, boom, because it couldn't happen any other way. And scientists know this, but they say, yeah, but if I see there's a creator, then I have accountability to a creator, and I don't want accountability to anybody. I want my freedom. And so that's why we end up with so much misinformation and so forth. But I know the Bible is true. I know the Bible is true because God tells us in advance what's going to happen, and then it happens. The Bible is full of prophecies that have already been fulfilled, and the prophecies that haven't been fulfilled, such as his return again, are going to happen. I know it's going to happen, and I've seen it happen just in my... I'm an old guy, so I've seen maybe more things happen than most of you have seen, because you haven't lived long enough yet, but you will get there. But in verse 26 of Genesis 1, God says, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." Man is the only creation that is made in the image of God. So although we love our animals, we love our whales, we love our doggies, we love our cats or whatever, they're still not man. Man is the only one created in the image of God. Man is the only creation that will live eternally because created in God's image. Plants won't, animals won't, I don't think. But man will because it says he will. So I know that. Doesn't matter what I think. So we're created in God's image. That means we're eternal. Well, does that mean we're going to live in these bodies forever? No. Right now, the lifespan is what, 70-some years estimated, or I don't know what it is, but some such number. And occasionally, somebody will now get to 100, maybe even a little over. But every one of us will take our last breath in these bodies. Every one, not half of us or two-thirds, but every single one that's ever been born will take their last breath. God has appointed the time that you're going to take your last breath. It says in this book, it's been appointed for man by God to die once, and after that the judgment. So we're all going to go home right on time, I believe. We're going to go home in his time. But why are we here? Well, we're here to bring him glory. We came from his creation for a short time here on earth, and then why are we here? The scripture says in Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for you have created all things, and for your good pleasure they are and were created." So we're created for the glory of God. Kind of hard for me to get my hands around that one because that's so big. But my life is to glorify him. It's not to glorify myself. My life is to please him, not to please myself. And so that's a huge transformation that only he can cause in me because I can't do that myself. I love myself too much. But I do want to bring him glory. So where did we come from? He created us. Why are we here? To bring him glory. Where are we going? Well, Jesus told the disciples that night before he was to be crucified the next day in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled, disciples, and let your heart not be troubled, you who are here as well. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you," speaking to us all. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that what? Where I am, there you may be also." That's the promise from Jesus Christ to his disciples who believed in him. And that's the promise to you and I who believe in him. "And where I go, you know, and the way you know," Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus made this very radical statement. Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Well, that's not the worldview. The worldview is all roads lead to God. Just live sincere and do good and you'll get there. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says you've got to go through Jesus Christ because all roads lead through him. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, how can we be sure when we die we'll go to heaven? Well, in John 3:16, that you know so well, I'm sure, because you see it all over the place, For God so loved the world. What did it mean he so loved the world? Why did he have to show his love to the world? Well, in the beginning he created the heavens and the earth, and he created man. He created Adam first. And he put him in this great garden, and he said, Adam, you have control over the garden. You have control over all the animals. You can do anything you want in the garden, except there's one tree that you shall not eat of, and the day you eat of that, you shall surely die. Man was not created to die. So death, like we're kind of experiencing the results of that today, is wrong. It doesn't fit, because it's opposite of life. We like life. We don't like death, right? But the news gets, through Christ, the news gets really good. So God loved the world, and he created man to be in communion with him. He wants a relationship with you and with me. But now Adam, later, he put Eve in his life, and Eve then ate of the tree. Now she was deceived by Satan, and it sounded good from her standpoint. It looked good, it probably smelled good. And he said, if you eat of that tree, you will be smart like God. And he doubted God, as Satan always does, and he always doubts his word. Hath God said? And planting a doubt in her mind, and she took of the fruit and ate, and she gave some to Adam. His sin was worse, because he willingly ate. And what? Sin entered the world, and death through sin. Now, we're all born of Adam, so we all sin. And the reason I know we're born of Adam is because we're all going to die. Adam died, we die. Why do we die? We're born of Adam. We have sin. We're born into sin because we're born into Adam. But now God, in his perfect plan, through his love, had this plan to bring fallen man back to himself, to redeem fallen man, to pay the price of our sin, which is death. We're all sinners. So we all have a death penalty, in a sense, on our head. So God sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ, in the form of a man, to die as a man, to undo what Adam had done. That's the death on the cross. So when God so loved the world, he loved us. And so he is a righteous, just God. If we create a sin, if we sin, there is a consequence. And God will not overlook the consequence. But God provides a way for that consequence to be paid by having himself pay it, by having himself suffer. Jesus Christ suffered more than any of us could ever possibly imagine. You might say, as he was whipped with a cat of nine tails, you might say, as he was hanging on the cross, what pain that was, and it was. He's not the only one who was crucified. There have been a lot of people crucified. But that was just almost nothing, in my opinion, compared to the difficulty that he went through when he took the wrath of God's anger for your sin and my sin and all the sin of the world on himself. That was 3 hours of darkness on the cross. And he was perfectly sinless. He had not Adam's blood in him because he was virgin born. He was born, that's why God said, I'll give you a sign, and that sign will be of a virgin birth. The father of Jesus Christ was the Holy Spirit, not Adam. So his blood didn't have this sin aspect to it. So it's pure blood. That blood was shed. He then became our high priest and gave himself as a sacrifice. Unbelievable. It says, therefore he's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save us completely because he ever lives to make intercession for us as our eternal high priest. All the priests during the Levitical period all died. They would be there from 30 to 50, and then they would die, pass on. Jesus is our eternal high priest forever and ever and ever and ever. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never stop praying for you. He paid the price for your sin that you do not have to die. So it's really good news. And what proved that the price was paid? It was his resurrection from the dead. We read in 1 Corinthians 15, Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried according to the scriptures, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures as prophesied. He said he would rise. David prophesied he would rise. Death could not hold him down. And that was the stamp of approval by God the Father that the price has been paid. On the cross, his last words basically were, tetelestai, it is finished. It is paid in full. All the redemptive work needed for a man to be saved is done on the cross. There's nothing more that you can add, nothing more that I can add, there's nothing more that anybody can add. It's all done. There's also an awesome story there. Jesus was crucified as prophesied between two thieves, between two criminals. That was capital punishment in those days under Rome, so you had to do something really bad. It wasn't just because you were a shoplifter or something. But they were both railing against Jesus right up until the very end. And then we read in the scriptures something is very remarkable, very, very remarkable to me. In Luke 23, verse 39, the three of them are hanging on the cross. They've been hanging there now. It's been dark. It's now light again. Jesus will be breathing his last breath very soon. He's beaten beyond recognition. Isaiah says you wouldn't recognize him as a human, so he's beaten so bad. He's hanging there dying on the cross. And what a sight that must have been. It wouldn't be a sight of saying, you're going to be a king. But here's what the thief on the cross would say. One of the criminals who hanged alongside of him, blasphemed Jesus, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing that you're under the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive due reward for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you, today, not 6 months from now, not 5,000 years from now, but today, you will be with me in paradise. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, present in the body, absent from the Lord, absent from the body, present in the Lord. I believe that scripture says that as soon as you take your last breath as a believer, you're in the presence of the Lord. Your body will be resurrected at the time of the rapture, but your spirit will be present with the Lord immediately, just as it says here, today you will be with me in paradise. So we see then that what the thief on the cross did is, which is so encouraging to me, because he didn't have his life together. He wasn't all clean and pretty. He was a sinner dying for his sin, right? Just as you and I die for our sins. And what does the cross stand for? It stands for the demonstration of God's love to us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for us when we were nice and clean and neat. He died for us in our sin. And so the thief on the cross is such an encouragement because he had more faith than all the disciples. How could you believe in this beaten, bloody body hanging and dying on the cross? Remember me when you come into your kingdom. That would take a lot of faith, wouldn't it? I think it would. He had more faith than anybody else at that point. But somehow the Spirit was moving in him. Somehow the Spirit would tell him that Jesus is the Savior. He came to die for you, and the price is being paid. And I'm sure he just said, remember me. You know, I don't think he would have ever dreamed that it would have been, yes, today you'll be with me in paradise. But, you know, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And that's really the prayer that I want to leave here today with. Remember me, Lord, when you come into your kingdom. God has that perfect plan for every single one of us. I don't think anybody's outside that plan. We see that whoever comes to the Lord, he will in no way cast out. So we want to leave rejoicing, not in circumstances here which are not rejoicing, but in the final analysis of being with him forever and ever and ever and ever. But we must believe that he paid the price for our sin, is what the Bible says. The words, I printed up a few of these. I think maybe there's enough for each family. I don't know. But you can take these home if you don't know these. A lot of you are nodding because you already know these scriptures. There's nothing unusual about them. I just summarized the ones I thought were a kind of familiar for us. And spend some time with the Lord saying, am I in the right place? Will you remember me when I come into my kingdom, when you come into your kingdom? Because I want to be with you forever. Now, there's another place out there you don't want to go to. That's the place that's prepared for Satan and the workers of iniquity. That's eternal as well. But Jesus calls it a place of torment where the worm does not die. nor the fire quenched. He says that three times in the Gospel of Mark alone, and that lives forever as well. So we get to choose where we go because God loves us so much. He lets us choose. Where do you want to go? You want to be with him forever where it's all good, or you want to be apart from him forever where it's all bad? That's the choice. So keep that in mind as well as we go forward. Now, all of us want the resurrected body, right? Unless you like to shave like I do with more and more wrinkles every day, you know? So this old body's getting old. I'm ready for upgrade. And not just an upgrade, but really an upgrade. But how do I get the upgrade? I got to die first. So everybody wants a resurrection, but nobody wants to die, right? Because death is not normal. Death is not right. But in Christ, it leads to life. If you're going to plant the harvest of corn or wheat or anything else, you put live seeds into the ground, and what happens? They die. But out of them comes new life. And that's the same as with us. When we take our last breath in these bodies, so to speak, our bodies go back to the elements of the earth. This body's done. But then new life comes in. It's spiritual, and eventually it'll be a resurrected body. And what that's going to be, nobody knows, but it's going to be the body that God's creating for each of us that can be in his presence. That's going to be a good one. It's never going to wear out. Never going to get wrinkles. We do not know what we shall be, but we know we will be like him because we'll see him as he is, right? So that's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so cling to that as you think about these issues in life which have no answer, which seem like, you know, everything I see is ugly and hopeless, and what about all those enemies out there? What's going to happen to them? Turn them over to the Lord. The Lord is going to make it all right. Every single thing will be made right eventually. Not in our lifetime, most of these things, probably, but eventually. And he's eternal, and he never makes a mistake, right? He didn't make a mistake with you or with me. No, but he didn't make a mistake with you. And he loves you so much. So stay close to him, and in times of great difficulty, just say, Lord, I'm hurting. I don't understand, Lord. But I trust you. Enable me to trust you more. And help me to be that sweet aroma that could be a fragrance to others. Because I love you, Lord. And in that, you put in my heart to love one another, as exhibited here today by all of you showing up. Okay? Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the preciousness of life. And we thank you for the preciousness of death, insofar as the resurrection follows the death, and insofar as we know you died for us so that we might live. And so, Lord, I just pray for your love to be felt in every single person's heart today. I pray for your presence to be felt in their lives in every way. Lord, especially I pray for Lorna, Lord, and just pray that you would give her peace and you would give her joy in spite of the circumstances, Lord. And all of those who were especially close to Jennifer, I know everybody in this room was close to a degree, but those who are especially close, for example, I just pray for double blessings really all the way around. And may your hand of presence and understanding be on each of us as we seek you and pour ourselves out to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.